All right, welcome back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday show. It is a Friday morning. It's time to talk about another one of those weeks where things that have been hidden are being revealed. And in particular, it's ironic, I guess, as we head into a weekend where some will celebrate the resurrection of the Mashiach, while others will celebrate bunnies and eggs and a paganized version of something that I guess really kind of helps to outline the distinction. One of the things that's so clear, the separation, failing to teach my people the difference between the clean and the unclean. We have those that are basically saying, look, let's just go ahead and have a civil war because we don't care about the rule of law. We want to kill people. We want to break things. And we're really happy when Big Brother does it for us. So it's never been more clear in a lot of respects, Dave. We got lots to talk about this morning, but I got co-host David Justice with me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What we're experiencing is the infiltration by a philosophy other than what America was founded on, and the tension between those two has resulted in what is accumulating into a civil war, and it's happening in the realm of thought right now. But all revolutions, all wars begin inside the mind, inside the realm of thought, and in a total breakdown of discussion where there's no reconciliation between the two sides. And the globalists, through their attempt to maintain control by opposing President Trump, are revealing themselves. Mark, you and I had a talk before we went on the air. It's becoming so blatant, so obvious that the good news is that it's become blatant and obvious. So at least the playing field is being defined so that we're approaching a place where we can make a choice because we can distinguish good and evil. So that's the time we live in, and what a privilege it is to be able to report on this. Although I have to admit, it's probably one of the most frustrating times to be alive right now.
Unfortunately, I would say fortunately that's true because I've said it for a while. People will ask, how can we maintain a positive attitude given all the evil that's going on here? And the answer is we live in what is almost certainly the most exciting and amazing and ultimately the most important time in all of human history. So, embrace that and recognize that we are here, arguably, for such a time as this.
Well, the opposition is not going to stop until they tear everything down. See, they're destroyers. It's easy to destroy. It's not so easy to build up and maintain law and order. So the side that is looking for order in society has the tougher challenge because we have to exercise restraint, self-discipline, and the rule of law, and honor the parameters and boundaries that are established by the Constitution. So Trump's hands are tied by the rule of law, but the judiciary doesn't seem to be tied by that same standard.
The judiciary, basically, and I'll be as kind as I possibly can, is literal, and by that I mean the Boasbergs and the Chutkans and the people that are supposedly officers of the court, like Leticia. I will take the president to trial for a real estate fraud, but hey, I'm the expert at it. I got houses in multiple states. I defrauded the New York government that I'm supposed to be the chief law enforcement prosecutor for. You know, this is the kind of thing we're dealing with, and it's not just hypocrisy. It goes way beyond hypocrisy at this point.
Well, it's clearly a double standard, and I've said it before, we've talked about this. It's to use the law only when it's convenient, to rely on the Constitution only when it's convenient. It turns the Constitution into a menu. It's just like the Torah. It's not a menu. There's a truth. There's a way of knowledge and order and truth that disciples of the Mashiach aspire to live within, and we live and move and have our being in that truth, in that order. And that's what America is founded on. Now, we've come so far away from it, it sounds ridiculous to some to hear a statement like that, but in fact, it's only to the degree that we've come off that standard that makes it sound so ridiculous, Mark.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the specifics then, because there is a whole lot going on. I guess I'll start with this story. It's kind of a it's a kind of story that doesn't get much press, and it should be more widely disseminated than it is. But there was a couple in Massachusetts. They had five kids, and essentially the youngest one went to the pediatrician. They're 9 months old. And the pediatrician said, well, you haven't given this kid the Zyklon B injection, for a disease that doesn't really have a problem anyway. In other words, he didn't take the Pfizer or whatever the heck it was injection. And so he ratted him out to the Massachusetts Department or whatever they call Child Protective Services. What a sick joke. And they basically said, we want to come out inspect you. And the parents rightfully said, no, you're not. And then eventually things escalated. The parents left the state of Massachusetts, and they headed to what they thought was a safe haven of Texas. There was a national manhood hunt put in place. Can you believe this? And essentially what happened is Texas extradited them back to Massachusetts so that they could face the consequences, the kids being stolen. They accused the parents of kidnapping their own children from an almighty state that wants them dead. This is about as... Well, how many times do we have to see it, David? You can't argue with the truth. They want people dead, and they're working hard on it.
Several years ago, back in 2021, when the state of Colorado was implementing the mask mandate, I had the privilege, several of us, sued the school board, for implementing this mask mandate, and we were arguing the issue of parental rights. That was the crux issue of our lawsuit. And the local community and all the liberals, everybody's rolling their eyes at us. Like, it's just a mask, the reason that we felt the need to do that then was exactly to stop what is happening now. If you don't stop something, it becomes a precedent, and then they build on the precedent. And right now,
may I quickly? There's a line from James Madison who said, "The time to take offense at excesses is when it's first available." In other words, do not wait until the problem has been strengthened by exercise. And that's exactly what he said over 200 years ago. And you're
exactly
right.
Right.
You don't allow it to happen, or you'll end up with exactly what we've got.
So all these, so America, all you people that are sitting back, waiting for the time to where you need to act. That time to act was decades ago, and the time to act is when you wake up to something, because the failure to stop the precedent establishes the precedent, and then they build on that. And so now we've had 2,000 years since the Messiah, and precedent after precedent after precedent, and the Revolutionary War, the Declaration of Independence, they attempted to break the precedent, and, as soon as the ink was dry on the Constitution, damage control went back into effect, and the people that love power and money went to work to break down to reacquire the power and control. So it's power and control that is always looking for precedent to justify its existence and expand its power. It's inevitable, and that's the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world that we're, as the disciples of Christ and the children of our Father, that's where the battle line is. And it always happens in the mind first before it becomes kinetic, and we're definitely moving toward a kinetic war, Mark.
Well, let's talk about some of the other elements of that. There's been a continuing issue with this absolute scumbag from the pit of hell, Boasberg. He's the head honcho in the District of Criminal Swamp, and the black robe priests of Satan who need to be wearing a different color robe, like orange, instead. David, I cannot believe the level of transparency that's now been made clear. You can't look at Boasberg and say, come on, this guy has no interest at all other than trying to destroy what's left of the Republic. And you'd think people would have awakened to that by now, but a lot of them still haven't figured it out. It's just, it's downright amazing, as a matter of fact.
A lot of the judges that we're dealing with were Obama appointees, and then Obama through Biden appointees, and they and Schumer, Senator Schumer has bragged on national TV about how this was all intentional, how they put these judges in place to stop Trump. So they vilified Trump, marginalized him, and labeled him, and now they've got to stop him. And so these judges are acting from the place that they've got to stop Hitler. You know, we've got to stop this move toward totalitarian dictatorship when it's they themselves that are engaged in it.
So absolutely.
Again, and this, here's what's been fascinating to me is how blatant evil now is revealing itself and showing us their tactics, their gaslighting, their manipulation, their and everything that they do. It's what amazes me is they think they're 100% on the right side of the argument. That's the and the following them are minions of theirs. And Yeshua summed it up when he said, if the blind follow the blind, they all fall into the pit. We're living in the day where at least it's being exposed, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the other ones here. I know you don't want to go here. We're going to do it real, real quickly, all right? Because it fits, and it's so important.
I get it.
Okay, you got this idiot from Maryland, and isn't it ironic? And this is part of the reason that I think this just so, I'll say it, David, pisses me off. This damnably evil senator from Maryland who has gone down on the taxpayer dime, mind you, so that he can grandstand and say, hey, give us back our terrorist. We got this perfectly good MS-13 terrorist here, and Trump shipped him back, and it was a mistake. We love our terrorists. We want him back. And he's been down there for 3 days, it looks like, or 2 days. I don't know how long the idiot's been down there. He should stay trying to get the terrorist back. And meanwhile, what the White House did is they brought a woman who lost her daughter to a Salvadoran terrorist, basically a rapist and a murderer, who raped and beat the living crap out of her daughter, and it was a horrible thing. And she was talking about it yesterday. The press just completely ignored it. So what you have is this. This is the reason why I think this is so damnably insidious, David. You got a guy that basically sat on his ass, pardon my French, while people in his state and other states were being hunted down by the FBI for daring to think that they had a right to due process and to petition the government for a redress of grievance, they were thrown in the gulag. Did Boasberg, did this scumbag from Maryland, did they say a damned word? Hell no. They were cheerleading to put these people in jail, screw their rights to due process, to face their accusers, even to see the evidence because they locked it up. But now that we got a real terrorist who's been adjudicated twice to have been a member of MS-13 and they shipped him back, he's really upset. Give us back our terrorists. So what do Americans need to know other than, when you've got idiots like this out saying, give us back our terrorists, that should tell you something. Go ahead.
Well, I'll be blunt. The reason they want the terrorists back, and time will tell whether this is true, is that these people were the ones they were, or are the people that they are going to rely on to fight their war.
You got it.
The terrorists are their proxy. Okay, so you got people in power. They're not going to go down and pick up guns, and they're not going to go start riots, and they're not going to go do, but they're operating through these imported people that were imported by the Biden administration to fight their war. It's not just about importing people to vote. When this thing breaks down, and it looks like it could happen within the next couple of months, the more Trump bears down and Cash Patel and company, all of the people, Musk, everyone, and Bondi, that is operating to restore sanity to a system of that absolutely must be preserved because the alternative is totalitarian dictatorship. You can't speak, you can't own weapons, you can't decide where you're going to live. People, it's this is, and yielding to systematic, they keep accusing Trump of an oligarchy when they're the ones that are now, right now, trying to rule through judiciary. That's where we're at because this is the last place they have to go. This is their last move on the chessboard. before it actually goes kinetic. And what they're doing is buying themselves more time, Mark. And I think that that's what we're seeing.
Well, I'm not sure about the buying time thing, because I do think what we're actually seeing as well, and I'm more or less in agreement with you here, is an escalation. As you are aware, well, let's talk dates for a minute here. This coming weekend is also 420, and there's lots of talk about 420, and the left is basically saying, look, this is Adolf Hitler's birthday. Now, what they do, of course, is while they worship Adolf Hitler's methods and his goals, they tell you that, oh, Trump is Adolf Hitler, when in fact what he's doing is fighting against exactly the ideology that the left has been implementing and pushing on Americans for years. So they know that 420 is Adolf's birthday, and that's Sunday, and of course we know that there are some other things that are going to go on. The White House will probably have their Easter egg hunt on Sunday. And that basically suggests to some of us, Trump is maybe in the right direction, doing a little bit of movement, but he's not there yet. In any case, things are coming to a head. They could come sooner rather than later is my point. Go ahead.
Well, they'll bring it to a head because they can't afford not to. If they just let Trump continue down this path that he's going, there's going to be probably thousands of people arrested in this criminal syndicate of racketeering across all 50 states, and Colorado's leadership is going to be among those that are going to be arrested for the fraud of promoting to the people that the Dominion machines are secure and then throwing Tina Peters in jail when she discovers the smoking gun that shows that they're not. Pam Bondi is already talking about knowing that the machines were manipulated, so they're moving down the path now to take away the Dominion voting machine and to restore sane elections, which means that these globalists will be, and these rhinos that are part of the team, will be ousted from power and order will be restored in America. Well, they can't have this because they thrive on the disorder and they thrive on moving America in a direction away from constitutional law and order. And Trump threatens that, that paradigm. And so that's why they have to stop him. So the judges are doing what they're designed to do, and you're right, they're escalating the thing. And there's no stopping it, because as long as these judges have the power, they're going to oppose Trump, because that's the plan, Mark. Did I lose you? There anymore.
Let me mention one more quick thing. Sorry. Because we've already touched on it just a little bit. Letitia James, truly one of the most corrupt scumbags outside of the swamp itself. And this is the woman that referred Trump for prosecution. For those that don't remember the story, the details just keep coming out. She bought a house in Virginia, claimed it was her principal residence, which would make her illegal as far as being the chief prosecutor or having an office in New York. Then she lied on various loan applications. Whoa, isn't that what she accused Trump of doing? Only what she did was lying to beat taxes rather than trying to inflate the value. She claimed it was something different. She's been referred for prosecution. It's about time. Now, we'll see whether there's indictments that come from that or not. But I think the question that folks are asking, and I've heard more than a few say this, and I understand it takes time to build an ironclad case, and there are all kinds of issues, and yes, those of us who aren't involved in the ponderous legal system just can't understand how tough it is to prosecute somebody who's really guilty as opposed to, say, a former president of the United States when you've got a political case to be made. So what we're seeing is, I'll ask it as a question. Why the hell hasn't Judge Boasberg been arrested by U.S. Marshals? Why haven't they marched that guy, frog-marched him out of the court and said, you are guilty of violating, you know this one, David, 18 United States Code Section 241 and 242, conspiracy to obstruct and destroy the rights of the American people. Actually, it's called treason, too, when you use your power to make war on the states and the people. Why hasn't he been arrested? The evidence is plain. Everybody can see it. Go ahead.
I'm gonna speculate because I don't know for sure, but this is my speculation. The infiltration into the bureaucracy is so deep that if you arrest a man like this, the players, the bureaucrats in there that are all go along to get along type people, are going to do everything in their power to oppose the prosecution. They're going to
of course
do everything
they will.
In their power. To derail that. And so I think what's happening is that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi are cleaning up, they're ferreting out who is loyal to the Constitution and who is not loyal to the Constitution. And I think that may be the way, the reason that they're hesitating is they don't want, you only got one chance to do this right. And the problem with, you know, wanting to do it right though is giving them more time, like I said, to develop their strategy. And so this is, we're in this kind of a catch-22. If you move too soon, you could derail your effort. If you move too late, they could derail our effort.
Well, to the extent that I think you're right on, and I understand that, and I agree with it. I asked the question because people are certainly thinking about it and wondering what's going on here. And I guess I would say there's one other element, too, and that is the politics of this. I honestly believe that the American people are watching the Boasbergs and Chuck Cans and Letitia Jameses of the world, and they are getting to be, as the famous line from the Movie Network put it, mad as hell and thinking, I'm not going to take this anymore. Because ultimately what has to happen is people have to just rise up and demand and ask, why the hell isn't this son of a you-know-what in jail? Why the hell is Letitia James out running around free? What is it that they've been doing to us? And as the evidence continues to mount, the court of public opinion will probably be a lot faster to move in that direction than the others. And, of course, that's the reason why they're pushing for their civil war, because they know that they had better have bullets flying before they have Boasberg and some of these other people who so richly deserve it in orange jumpsuits.
I think the evidence is in, like, for example, Colorado, who's, and I don't know the status because I wasn't paying attention. There's a bill on Jared Polis' desk to basically gut the Second Amendment, which is the federal constitution, to take Colorado's ability to buy and sell firearms, weapons and firearms. I think that this is a clear indication that they know that what their actions are leading to, and that's the people are going rise up and overthrow these people. And I think that so they're trying to get ahead of the narrative by taking the people's ability to transact weapons, and they don't care that it's unconstitutional. Here's the point. They don't care because as long as they can do this, they have the amount of time that it takes to appeal this case to a higher authority, because we know the Colorado Supreme Court's not going to reverse it. It was a 9-0 decision to try to keep Trump off the ballot. So they know that things got to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court in order for this particular law to be thrown down. Well, time is of the essence here. They know that. So they've got to move fast, and so I think, like I said, this is prima facie that they know where this is going, Mark.
I think you're right, and we've been talking about the likelihood and intent of civil war for several years now. And this has been a theme that you and I've touched on, and I've mentioned elsewhere as well. To some extent, I think people were, and I would say rightfully, surprised, pleased, thrilled even, that Trump came into office, hit the ground running, and began exposing all kinds of crap, because he needs to. You got to strike while the iron is hot. It's very important that people start to see just how badly they've been duped and for how long, while they can. Okay, and as a result, maybe some folks kind of got complacent, and they started saying, oh, look, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I can go back and watch the football game. I don't have to worry about it. Trump's got it handled. And the truth of the matter is, no. What they have been doing is pushing for civil war ever since. We got about 30 seconds, I believe. Take us out. Go ahead.
Okay, well, and so what I see Trump doing is by exposing them, he's creating more people on the side of truth and more people on the side of America. So he has Musk and company out there revealing the fraud and the corruption and demonstrating to the people just how far gone it is.
Amen. Well, that takes us to the break, folks. We got lots more to talk about. We'll be right back after the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back, folks. Second half now of the Drive Time Friday show. We are talking about so much that's going on. But again, if there is a theme for this week, it's that, well, we've seen this coming for a while, and we recognize the scripture tells us that the things hidden will be revealed. We're at the point now where the level of evil is so transparent, so blatant, so in your face that I honestly don't think anybody that's been paying attention could argue other than, yep, they really do want you dead, and they're willing to pull out all the stops to make it happen. So with that on the table, let me go back. David, I think we interrupted you at the bottom of the hour there.
Well, I don't know. Let me do a continuity of thought here. Trump is a disruptive variable in a criminal syndicate that has been operating in America for so long, we thought it was normal. Trump comes along and reintroduces through a counter coup or a counter insurgency as from the syndicate's perspective. He represents the disruptive illegal element. And so, relatively speaking, Trump is dangerous. And they 100% wholeheartedly agree that if they let him have his way, that they will lose their way. And that's what they are, that's what they fear the most. So right now we're in the portion of the play where the judges have stepped up to do their job of countering, you know, we got the separation of powers up there, but they're countering Trump, arguing from the place that he is the criminal element and they have to stop him no matter the cost. Now, the MAGA people, those of us that love what he's doing, you know, we were labeled terrorists before Trump was elected. But let's not forget that. So, everything is upside down and backwards. What we're watching, and this is really important to get, is that the enemy loves to use projection onto us of the very things that the enemy is guilty of. So they frame it in such a way as that we're the evil people doing it, so the people that are, like, not really paying attention get so confused they don't know who to believe. So I think this is actually what's happening. They're hypnotized in believing the one making the accusation must be telling the truth, because the accusation is so outlandish it's hard to believe that anybody would make the accusation.
Just described is exactly what we see in history. Adolf Hitler called it the big lie, and of course modern psychology calls it transference there's another word here too. Basically accusing your enemy of that which you are guilty of. You can see it in Rules for Radicals. You basically hit them first. You know what you're doing. You've been doing it. So you accuse them of it. And then hopefully when they turn around and say, well, if that's what you're doing, a projection, then, you know, they can get away with it. And the point here, I think, is what we're seeing is so transparent, David, and I understand you're right, and we talk about the narrative and the fact that people have been duped for so long, but I hope, and if there's anything that Trump seems to be doing right, and I'm not sure whether it's too late or not, but if there's anything he's doing right, it is essentially hitting people so hard up the side of the head with so many things, USAID and all the Elon Musk stuff, and the criminality of the Biden fuel that's coming out. Yes, they covered up the laptop. Yes, he was senile. Yeah, every single stinking one of them knew it. And they, the American people are finally saying, wow, okay, I guess the conspiracy theorists were right all along. They really did dupe me. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but when people start to wake up to it, then they've had it.
They have. And I love to go back to the beginning. When we get to a place where we get really confused and we don't know what constitutes reality anymore, which is what I imagine a lot of people are feeling in this country right now, we've got to go back to the roots. And so we go back and study the principles and the precepts of law. We go back to scripture. And we then retrace our steps. There's this thing called the law of non-contradiction. You can't hold two contradictory thoughts in your mind and expect them both to be true. Either one is false or both are false.
Wait a second. No, you can. That's the problem. It's Orwell called it doublethink. And people have been trying to do that. See, here's the problem. What we have to recognize is the American people have not only been dumbed down, they have been taught not to think. For several generations now, literally, they have been taught to emote and not to think. And what that means is, when they are confronted with something which is contradictory, the rest of us would say, well, you know, that's idiotic. You can't possibly believe that. And the answer is, oh, yeah, we do. We absolutely do believe it because, well, that's how we don't recognize cause and effect anymore. They have reached the point where people have been dumbed down to that level.
Okay, and to distinguish what, there's a name for that, it's called cognitive dissonance.
You got it.
Cognitive dissonance is the deer in the headlight, okay? The deer looks at the car and just stands there, you know, and gets hit because it's stuck inside this paralyzation. So holding the two contradictory thoughts in your mind, which, yeah, people do, and they get caught in paralysis, which is cognitive dissonance, and then they go numb. They don't know what to think or anything, and so they'll tune out, and they'll go and find a bottle of alcohol or smoke or whatever they do to escape the reality, that to find some sort of peace, because they're operating in such
stupor,
so much tension because of the contradiction, Mark.
I don't disagree. And so I guess the question is, you know, as we look at some of the other elements here, and we'll throw out a couple more stories, how do we fight that? How do we beat that? I can't help but think, and I've mentioned it, this is the kind of thing that is, it's like so many other things. It's divisive to recognize, to tell people, wait a minute, you say, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim the most important event in all of human history is coming up this weekend. All right? Whether we get the date right or not is not the issue. Whether we understand who he is a bigger issue. And so if people say, okay, this is the most important event in the human history, it's Easter Sunday. Wait a minute. That word does not appear in Scripture, folks. Oh, yeah. The King James put it in there. Well, they were deadly wrong. The word does not appear in Scripture. There's no such thing as Easter Sunday in Scripture unless you're talking about a pagan fertility goddess. Now, the question is, and this is one I hope that people will answer, you know, if you were duped about an idiot pretending to be president, can you be duped about a Messiah that doesn't really appreciate having his sacrifice renamed in honor of a pagan fertility goddess and celebrated with bunnies and eggs and dying eggs to represent sacrificed children? And yeah, that's where the cute little habit comes from many centuries ago. In other words, if we can't recognize some of the big stuff that the Creator says, by the way, just read Scripture, he says, I hate these things. I hate them. I detest them. Destroy these idols. Don't bring these things into your house. We could cite chapter and verse, but the point is people have been bringing these things into their house. They don't know any better. We talk about cognitive dissonance. Well, there's a basic one, and it's fundamental to their so-called faith. And how offensive is it to him to have what he did turned upside down and named after a pagan bunny and egg goddess? Good grief. We got to start somewhere by saying, you know, we just need to pull on that thread and unravel this whole tapestry of lies. Go ahead.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about precedent, you know. So we slip a little bit here, you know, and it establishes a precedent. But over the course of about 2,000 years, we've come so far off because it's been redefined so many times. And, you know, there's over 47,000 Christian denominations operating on this planet today. So there's so many variations that the red pill event that Yeshua demonstrated when he was murdered by calling out the powers that be back in the day that had completely, because of their precedent, had completely destroyed the truth of what the very thing that they were claimed to be representing. And the same thing is going on today. The truth of what the churches claim to be representing is broken into shards and divisions. It's not a unified body of Christ. It's the antithesis, and a body divided against itself cannot stand. And if the, you know, Master himself said, we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if the light goes dark, how great is the darkness? And if the salt loses its savor, it's fit for nothing better than to be trampled under the foot of men, which is exactly what we're seeing.
Right, and if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
So the people perish for lack of knowledge. That's because the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world have commandeered the gospel and twisted it into something that it is not, and they've diluted it. It's the same thing now we're watching with the foundations of American law. It's been twisted and perverted into something that it's not. And so by hook and crook and criminal syndicate and manipulation and hypnosis and narrative, the truth is somewhere buried underneath all of that. And this is now the culmination of this, because we haven't stopped it and said enough. Trump comes along and says, no, we're going to stop this and enough. So now he's framed as a radical by the opponent, which are now judges. And because they have a position of perceived authority, they're the ones that have standing, at least in the minds of the ignorant people who don't understand the truth and the law. They'll go along with the judges and buy into their projection onto Trump that he's the evil guy, Mark. It's what a chaos in the mind this is.
There are a number of terms, some of them very tacky, to describe where we're at, but I hope at least that we're laying out the case. You know, there are several other things we probably need to mention here before the time is up, because certainly one of the things that people need to be paying attention to is the economic meltdown. Now, the sad truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, and most people don't, the United States came into this election literally headed for a Great Depression. We had the biggest debt bubble in all of human history. And we've talked about this many, many times. There's never, ever in human history been a fiat currency that has survived for very long. The dollar will not be the first. Trump knows it. He's talked about some things, you know, with respect to the Federal Reserve and remonetization of gold. There are some other ones, too, that I'm not so happy about that he's looking at. He'll look at all kinds of options. But the point is, he knows it. He knows that the economy will go into a depression, and there's nothing he can do to stop it. He may be able to mitigate it a little bit, thus some of the stuff with tariffs, and I'm encouraged, at least, that there are attempts to try it. I don't know that it can be reversed. Now, you know, Ludwig von Mises said there's no way out. At the point where it becomes obvious to the average guy that the debt and the currency is never going to be worth more tomorrow, he called it the crack-up boom. It's over. And, you know, are we going to get there? I suspect the answer is we will. But here's the point. People need to recognize this. They need to recognize that even though Trump may be doing some very good things on that front, the tariffs are not going to prevent ultimately supply chain breakdowns and a dollar meltdown. What he may be able to do is get some trading partners to say, okay, you can't rebuild factories in America fast enough, but just maybe the factories that are already built in places like Taiwan or Singapore or Japan or North Korea or South Korea are better, some of those might be able to help fill in the gaps and keep people alive and, you know, out of the riot zones until we can start rebuilding the American, infrastructure that's been destroyed. Go ahead. Take a comment on whatever you'd like there.
Well, I'm just going to say that those that don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. I don't remember who to credit that to.
Not Santiago. You scared it out of me. Spanish name. It'll come to me.
Well, so the idea is that, and here's a scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And they go into captivity for lack of a vision. And these are scriptural ideals that if we understand that America is founded upon a covenant with God, which means, let me translate that into something simpler, God is truth. God is love, God is light, spirit, truth. God is the supreme ruler of the universe, and America is founded on a covenant with this supreme ruler of the universe. And law and order is the objective under a constitutional republic framework. And so the idea when the founding fathers and founding families came over here to escape from England and the religious persecution, they came over here in the name of the kingdom of heaven in an attempt to set into motion something new, something to break from the oppression of the divine right of kings and consolidating all that power into individuals, and they the inauguration in foundation was in America, the gospel and our father and the concepts and the principles of the gospel are the foundation of American law, which is why we call them public servants. Well, today, 2025, that whole model's been turned upside down. We can't look to Trump to save us. Trump is a servant, just like Schumer is a servant, and Pelosi, these people are servants, but they're acting like gods. And that's ultimately the problem, because that's a form of idolatry, people. If we're looking for these people to save us, we've got our hierarchy out of order. So ultimately, the power is vested in the people, and we're the ones, through our relationship with our Father, restore order, but that idea has to come first. So if we're going to rise up, we have to rise up in that kind of spirit so that we don't become insane lunatics and we that are just looking for a fight. So, you know, it is important to understand, number one, and you know, this could get real old and tiring hearing this, but we have to get back into our relationship with our Creator, our Father. To the degree that we're not in that relationship or don't understand it is the degree that we're in rebellion to it, because we have an obligation to be in it here in America. And as believers, we have an obligation to be in covenant, in relationship with the God of the universe, who's our Father. That's where it all begins. And what we're witnessing right now in 2025 is the degree that we're out of covenant with our Father, and we don't understand it. And so my people perish for lack of knowledge. There it is. A nation divided against itself will not stand. There it is. So because we didn't challenge it in the beginning when the precedent was set, and it shifted away and shifted away, what we're experiencing is the culmination of all of those opportunities that we missed, and not just this generation, but the one before us and the one before that. We've evolved into this mess. And so the only right way back through, and Jesus summed it up when he said, repent, it means to change your mind, change the way you think, reevaluate everything you think you know, because whatever you're doing right now, it's not working. And I realize, that's my Passover message, folks. This is the time of the year when we get our mind fully around the ramifications of what the Messiah did for us. When he came and disrupted the program that the Pharisees were using to control the people. The American government and the jurisprudence in America, they've done the same thing to us. It's a criminal syndicate. And that criminal syndicate, Trump has made the enemy. And you know that they're doing everything that in their power to recruit Trump to stop him. And if they can't stop him by recruiting him, then they're going to stop him by disrupting everything that he's about. And so this is the movie that we're watching. So let's just make sure that we're aware of the totality of the circumstances, understand who we are and who the enemy is, so that we know how our prayers can be more effective, Mark.
Okay. I mentioned the economic meltdown, and you know, we're talking about both the practical and the spiritual issues. We've talked about a number of things. I think probably in terms of the spiritual one, I would summarize it this way. This is an old message. See that you're not deceived. We've been deceived. People need to at least understand what that means and say, okay, not gonna get deceived anymore. Whether it's Ishtar Sun God Day, and the bunnies and eggs crap. And by the way, the Bible says it. Read Deuteronomy chapter 7. Do not even bring an idol into your house. I don't give a blankety blank whether these bunnies and eggs are on sale, you know, at 90% off. Don't bring this crap into your house if you expect to believe that he is telling you the truth. Because otherwise, you know, you're essentially denying what it is that he's telling you and what he hates. So that's part of it. The other part of it is, if people are starving, if people can't put food on the table and they're worried about whether or not they're going to be able to pay their mortgages, they tend to ignore some of the spiritual elements, the higher things. And so understand the reason The reason why gold and silver are going through the roof is because it's taken 30 years, 20 at least, that, you know, we've been watching this, but finally people are starting to say, hey, this system is coming apart at the seams. And gold was up $100 several days in a row this week. It's above $3,300 an ounce. That's nothing compared to what's coming as people realize, well, how many dollars does it take to buy an ounce of something real if they're worthless? Answer. How many you got, right? Wheelbarrow loads. Go ahead.
Well, Weimar Republic, again, is the example in history most recently.
And Zimbabwe.
You can go online. Yeah, in Zimbabwe. Well, go ahead and look it up on the internet. We are, okay, here's the problem. The problem is, and Mark and I have talked about this quite often, dishonest weights and measures. We're not living in a fair and balanced monetary system where the playing field is level. The liberals want to call it capitalism. It's not capitalism. It's crony capitalism, which means it's not pure. It's not laissez-faire. It's not really pure capitalism.
Well,
where,
wait a second, David.
You know, you're
just a second, briefly, you cannot have capitalism, you cannot have fair exchange, free markets, with fake money. If someone is ripping you off and telling you, here's something real, and it's a lie, there is no capitalism, there is no free market, there is no fair exchange there. People are being deceived. And by the way, the Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 25, that it carries a curse. So we got to just see the obvious. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do think that's an important point.
No, yeah, not a problem, because it's exactly right. The curse is what we're experiencing right now, okay? We reap what we sow. If we sow bad seed, we are going to end up with a bad harvest. And this monetary system, being private, is an unequal playing field where the few benefit at the expense of the majority. You know, there used to be a time when the Sabbath was a cancellation of debt. Not anymore. Now you got to go to bankruptcy court. So this private monetary system is not the jure type monetary system of honest weights and measures that would ultimately bring blessings to a society. It's the one that benefits the few, and this idea, this is what we're going through right now, and this is the stage that's set. It is time for a reset, because like Mark said, this thing has a shelf life and we've reached it. Unfortunately, it appears that they're going to bring the whole system down on Trump's watch, and they're going to blame Trump for it when it's not Trump's fault at all. He just inherited the mess, and so he has an idea to not do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So he's implementing the tariffs. He's exploring other ideas. Oh, let's look into the fraud and deceit and the corruption of all these bureaucrats and politicians that have been stealing, ripping the system off, USAID, and now 100 other agencies where they're finding corruption. So he's going after an effort to level the playing field before they collapse it by exposing how the money, it's not even money, it's not even currency, it's fiat, it's just what they say it is, has been used to in the extreme to profit a few bureaucrats and politicians at the expense of the many. So they've got a big investment, and their investment is their whole reality is the world. The prestige, the position.
Well, hey, David.
Financial wealth and gain. Go ahead.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, because we're out of time. You know, the verse, of course, says, fear Elohim and keep his commandments. But the point is, we better choose who we're going to serve. And time is drawing short on so many fronts that if we don't recognize what we're up against and be not deceived, we are really, really going to be in a whole heap of trouble. So that is the brief concept here. I'll say, hey, Hag Sameach, folks. Shabbat Shalom.